Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
If it brings her to the same point that it brings you, it doesn't matter whether she called it God along the way or not.
That understanding works for you, so therefore it is absolutely right for you.
All beliefs have become only relatively true, and of course to the world, religion is just some personalized experience, not a divine revelation, and the church is catching the disease.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Hello, it is Witness Wednesday. This is Wretched Radio. I am at Georgia Tech. Guess what I stumbled on? A little card sitting on the sidewalk. Somebody's promoting Jesus without religion. Somebody must be coming to the campus here. They're doing a presentation at the Student Center. And I'm torn about this approach. Now, I don't know anything about this guy who's doing Jesus without religion. I appreciate the concept of this isn't so much about religion. This isn't about buildings per se. This is about that evangelical lingo, having a close personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I like that emphasis, but on the other hand, this is an approach that we've got to be very careful about. There are a lot of people who have been turned off to Christianity. Well, they were always turned off, if you will, but they had a bad experience. I get that. But let's not throw out the church with the bathwater. This is Wretched Radio at Georgia Tech, and I'm watching a kid. He walks a little bit like Shaggy. I mean, like Scooby-Doo, kind of with the bell-bottoms and the flappy stuff. But he's got his earphones in, and, well, let's just give it a go, shall we? Excuse me. Dude, hey, sorry to bother you. Are you listening to anything important right now?
No.
Can I walk and talk with you at the same time?
That's fine, yeah.
Cool, on the radio, right?
Sure.
Groovy. What's your name? First name?
Steven.
Steven, nice to meet you. How do you do?
I'm doing pretty well. How are you?
Tell me what you're studying here at Georgia Tech.
I'm an industrial engineer.
And that means when you grow up, you want to be a?
A consultant, maybe, for a couple years. And after that, I don't really know.
Consulting what?
I was kind of looking at maybe the food industry. I'm not really sure.
Food? So, really?
Yeah.
Like what?
I was a biochemistry major before this, yeah. And I changed, so I'm really interested in, like, food sciences and, like, maybe FDA things.
Okay, so tell me one thing that if I knew what was inside of it, I wouldn't want to eat.
Hot dogs.
Pretty scary?
Yeah.
What is inside of that casing?
Anything in a pig that you don't want to eat.
It's a pig, is it?
It is. It's pork.
There's beef
and pork ones.
Okay, so what's in the beef?
Same thing, just from a cow.
What's the name of that stuff in Scotland where they pack it into the intestines and they eat it? Haggis.
Yeah.
So basically a hot dog is a haggis.
Pretty much.
So you don't want to be eating that?
I mean, not really.
Okay. What exactly is Spam?
Pretty sure it's the same thing.
Really?
I mean, it's spiced ham.
It's pink.
It is pink.
When I was your age, I ate it by the gallon.
I mean, I don't mind it. It's
you ever fry it in a pan with some brown sugar?
Not with sugar, but
it's
I fried it for
butter and sugar? I'm telling you, it's good eating. Okay, so where are you from, dude? You don't have an accent.
Petrie City, Georgia. So really just 20 minutes south of here.
Where's the accent? You don't have one.
My mom was from here. My dad was from Connecticut. Kind of
balanced the deal out. All right, so tell me, as an individual who's in the Bible Belt, are you a Bible Belter?
Not really.
Not really.
I mean, I'm Christian, but I don't know. I believe in the whole separation church and state pretty strongly.
I wouldn't disagree with you on that. Okay, so did you say a Christian sort of, or mostly?
No, I said I'm a Christian.
You are a Christian. Okay. Okay, so tell me, if I'm not a Christian, why should I become a Christian? What would you tell me?
It just puts everything into perspective. I mean, the Lord gave us everything that we have, and if you believe in Him, He'll bring you to eternal life and eternal love.
Okay, I'm doing pretty good. Things are in perspective. Got a happy wife, happy life. The kids are healthy. Making scads of money. In fact, I got to wrap this up so I can go count all my cash. Why would I want to be a Christian?
Well, you don't need all that money. If you become a Christian...
But I got it, and it's good.
You do have it. But the Bible teaches you that money isn't everything. And you should help people in need. Because... treat others how you would want to be treated. The golden rule it applies to Christianity as well.
Mm-hmm. But why would I want to do that? I like spending it on me. It's good. You don't have to eat Spam and haggis. You get to eat fancy meats. So I think I'm good to go. Anything? Would there be anything else that you would encourage me to consider?
I mean, I don't know.
How's about heaven or hell?
I mean, that's why I said eternal life.
Eternal life. Okay, so where do you think I would be going if I died right now?
If you're not a Christian?
Yeah.
I believe you go to hell.
Yikes. How come?
Because the only way to get into heaven is through Jesus, through Jesus Christ.
Okay.
And if you don't believe in him, I guess you don't go to heaven, you don't get in.
I'm a pretty good guy. Pay my taxes, don't beat my children much. So, would he send me to hell for being a pretty good guy?
I mean, that's the big question. I believe that he would, but others might say something different. But it's, I would think that in my belief, yes.
How come? Seems kind of shocking to a guy like me.
I don't know. I mean, that's what the Bible says.
How's it about becomes, I'm a really bad sinner?
I mean,
Do you think that I'm a sinner? I'm asking, so don't worry, you're not going to offend me. I'm not going to take a shot at you.
I don't think you're a sinner. I don't think if you don't believe in God, that makes you a sinner. If you don't believe in God, you don't believe in Jesus. I just think that, I mean, it's my belief that that's...
But I'd be going to hell, you said.
Yes.
For not being a sinner? So why would I be going to hell? Are you a sinner?
I've sinned.
So you're a sinner.
But I've asked for God's forgiveness.
So am I? But I'm not a sinner. What's the difference between you and me? You look like a pretty decent fellow.
Well, everyone sins. I mean, it's human nature.
So I'm a sinner too.
Yes, but not...
What about this guy eating popcorn walking by? Is he a sinner?
I mean, I'm sure.
Okay, so I need to believe in Jesus to have my sins forgiven. Is that the issue?
Yes.
Aha. Uh-huh. So why believe in Jesus? How come Buddha won't get the job done?
I don't really know.
Okay. What type of Christian did you grow up, or what type of church did you go to?
I was in a Methodist church.
Methodist church. John Wesley's denomination,
yes.
Right? Wouldn't John Wesley say that it's because of the atoning work of Jesus, because he died on a cross, and he's the only one as the God-man who can satisfy the wrath of God that's placed on a sinner like you because of what he did by taking the wrath of the Father on your behalf? Wouldn't that be what Wesley would say?
Yes.
And because God's wrath is on me too, I need to have that same atoning work credited to my account too, right? And without it, God must do what's right and just, and he's got to send a sinner like me to hell because he's righteous and holy. And without righteousness, nobody can see God, right?
Right.
I know. So tell me, if I come to agreement with you, all right, I agree with you, I think you're right, I am a sinner, okay, Jesus died on the cross, what do I need to do to get forgiven? What's the process? Do I sign a card, go to church with you, go to the pizza party? What do I need? What needs to happen?
Well, going to church with someone is a way to get it started.
Okay.
But the only way is to actually accept Christ into your life.
What does that mean?
And that means that you give your mind, body, and soul basically up to Jesus himself.
What about repentance? I hear that word a lot. Repent.
That's asking for forgiveness for your sins.
Okay. Does it mean turning from sins also? Like saying, ooh, I don't like that anymore. God, I just want you. I don't want my sinful life anymore.
Right.
So you turn from your sins? Do I need to do that?
Yes.
Okay, so I've got to repent, and I need to trust Jesus. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay. So have you done that?
Yes, sir.
When did you do that?
It's probably 7 years ago.
Really? How old are you?
I'm 20 years old.
So 13,
yes,
you
sir.
Realized you're a sinful, wretched teenager? Is that right?
It was actually on a church trip that I really accepted Jesus.
Okay. You mean repented and put your trust in him. Is that what you mean?
Yes.
Yeah. So you understood you were, like, because you've told lies, that would make you a liar. Because you've stolen stuff, you're a thief. Because if you're a guy, which it looks like you are, you've looked at women with lust. God sees the heart, and that's adultery of the heart. You realized all of that back then when you were 13, huh?
Yes, sir.
Cool. And you repented and put your trust in Jesus. So when you die, for sure you're going to heaven.
Yes.
And that's why I should repent and trust Jesus. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, sir.
All right. Fascinating. Dude, thanks for the chat.
All right. Thank you.
Appreciate it very much. Study on. See ya. Like he said, that's what you... Okay. So here's a question for you. You basically just heard the little conversation with the young man who claimed to be a Christian who accepted Jesus. Ooh, this is why language is so important. This is why we need to stop using those flimsy terms, not acceptance, but repentance and faith. That's why this is so important. At any rate, what would you say to that kid? Would you, if you were his elder, say, come on in, kid, that was a profession of faith, that was just swell? Well, might actually be a close call on that one. It's okay that sometimes you have to help somebody just kind of put the thing in process, and you need to put it in the right order. But frequently, when somebody just can't quite give a profession of faith without really being led through it, it should cause us to have a little bit of concern. So that is why, once again, I think the whitest harvest field that exists in this country is right inside of our church. And that is why these types of presentations here, this dopey Jesus without religion thing, no dogma. That kid needs dogma. No theology. That kid needs some theology. No forcing any specialized theologies and creeds onto you. That kid could benefit from creeds so that he can clearly articulate his faith, if indeed he's saved. So we'll continue here at Georgia Tech. And guess what? I think I see the people handing out the Jesus without religion cards. Next on Wretched Radio.
You've most likely been there, sitting across from a therapist, staring at their degrees on the wall, listening while they give you a diagnosis and tell you what pill and prescription they think are going to cure all your ills. You walk out of the office carrying a label, and you wonder why you feel even heavier than you did before you walked in. That's why Dr. Greg Giffert wrote Lies My Therapist Told Me, because sometimes it's not the medication or even the diagnosis that's the real issue. It's that the whole system doesn't touch what's going on beneath the surface. Look, not every struggle is solved with a pill. Not every label tells the entire story. What if addiction's not just a disease? What if your anxiety is not just a chemical imbalance? And what if the diagnosis handed to your child is not the final word? The world gives its answers, but rarely does it ever deal with the heart. Scripture does. Pre-order Lies My Therapist Told Me today at fortisinstitute.org/lies. That's fortisinstitute.org/lies.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Beautiful campus, all of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number 6 for preparing students for the real world. All that, plus the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Truth. It's meant to travel far. It's meant to reach deep. It's meant to change lives. But for far too long, even the best biblical teaching has faced barriers, paywalls, price tags, limited access. And at Fortis Institute, well, we've been thinking differently recently. What if we could break through all of those barriers? That's why we're launching our Truth Unhindered initiative. We have extraordinary plans for the end of 2025, plans that will transform how pastors and families and seekers access life-changing teaching. But to make this vision a reality, we need you now more than ever. Right now, going on through June 30th, every dollar you give will be doubled up to $250,000. Double the impact, double the reach, double the transformation. Visit fortisinstitute.org/truth today, because when truth breaks through barriers, lives are never the same. fortisinstitute.org/truth.
Important dates in Christian history. 800 AD. Charlemagne, the grandson of Charles Martel, is crowned emperor by the Pope on Christmas. He ushered in the Carolingian Renaissance, which advanced the church, education, and culture in the Holy Roman Empire. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
This is Wretched Radio. It's Witness Wednesday at Georgia Tech. talking to the kids on the campus on this here Witness Wednesday. It's a beautiful day in Atlanta, Georgia. And so it is. There's a young man sitting on a bench here at Georgia Tech. And, I'm afraid he's involved in something. Hey, young man.
What's up?
May I ask you what you're listening to or doing with that thing?
I'm listening to the Talking Heads and reading engine performance articles from the library.
Engine performance articles. All right, we're on the radio, so don't swear, okay?
Okay.
All right, so you're listening Talking Heads.
Yeah,
dude,
Talking
Heads. They're like so 80s.
They're awesome.
Burning down the house?
Yeah. Actually, Psycho Killer.
It's what?
Psycho Killer.
That's what you're listening to.
Mm-hmm.
Psycho Killer.
Mm-hmm.
Yikes, that seems a little dark.
Well, you know, it's a nice sunny day.
Yeah, you need something to just kind of chill it out
a little.
Too much of this happiness and sunshine. Mm-hmm. A little Psycho Killer.
Exactly.
Okay, what are the lyrics to Psycho Killer? You don't have to sing. Just give them to me. Here, I got to sit next to you. Otherwise, my legs will fall asleep. Okay, give me the chorus to Psycho Killer.
Psycho Killer.
You didn't have to sing. Look at you go. This could be America's Got Talent. All right, go ahead.
Psycho Killer. Qu'est-ce que c'est? Fa 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 better run 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 away.
Okay. Give me that second line. What did you say? Psycho killer.
Qu'est-ce que c'est?
What is it, Spanish?
It's French.
Close enough. And what is it saying?
I have no idea.
Uh-huh. So you want to listen to something dark and you're studying engine performance magazines.
Mm-hmm.
What's a good performing car engine?
A good performing car engine?
Yeah.
Well, I was actually looking at motorcycle engines.
Ah.
But
do you have a motorcycle?
Yeah.
Do you wear a helmet?
All the time.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, very bad if you fall.
Exactly.
What about knee pads and all that stuff?
Don't really need knee pads, but you need good gear, especially around here.
Okay, you're not one of those crazies who drives down 85 doing 85 zigging between the cars, are you?
No, you got to do 55 because you'll get a ticket otherwise.
Well, and you could die.
I mean, you could die anyway.
Yeah, I guess that's 55 or 85. You're probably going to take a pretty bad tumble.
Exactly.
All right, so you're looking at motorcycle engines. Are you familiar with car engines? I'm looking for a car. What's reliable? What's good?
You want to go fast or you want miles per gallon?
I'm cheap, and I don't ever want to have to fix it, ever. I want this thing to run till I die.
It's probably like an old Toyota. They'll last forever.
Yeah, I hear that.
Old Hondas. Are pretty much indestructible.
Yeah, I actually heard that Toyota for their Camrys has a lifetime warranty. If you keep doing the monthly stuff,
service and everything.
Yeah, which is how they get you. Yeah,
I imagine. Yeah.
Yeah, oil change shouldn't be $89.
Exactly.
I think that's how they do it. Okay.
Yeah.
So a Toyota, a Honda would be good.
Yeah, I mean,
get something like that.
I mean, American cars are really good provided you do maintenance, a lot of maintenance.
All right, and that's going to take me until I take my last breath.
Yeah.
All right. Speaking of last breath, for lack of a better segue, what do you think about the afterlife and when we die? What do you think happens? I take my last breath. What am I going to experience, do you think?
I don't know, man. Maybe go to heaven. Maybe not. I don't know.
Are you a religious guy?
Not really.
No? Did you grow up in a religious home?
Not really.
No? Parents let you do pretty much anything?
No. I mean, they were pretty strict.
No, I didn't mean rules. I meant, church. Did they take you to church?
I mean, yeah, my mom was Southern Baptist. My dad was Catholic, so.
Wow!
So.
That must have been fun.
I've been to, both extremes of crazy. I mean, very.
Of what? Were you going to say crazy?
Yeah, of crazy. It's I've been locked in a church before and have to deal with people, and then I've had, very structured church, but.
All right, you're a smart guy. You study engines and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And you like Psycho Killer. So tell me, what's the difference between Southern Baptists and Roman Catholics?
I don't know. I mean, you could probably get away with a lot of stuff in, a Catholic church, as long as you repent and all that stuff. And you probably, whether you did anything or not, you're probably going to hell in a Baptist church.
Because they're Baptist.
Yeah. That's.
And they seem kind of severe to you, huh?
Yeah, they're pretty intense.
Okay, so what do you think is going to happen to you? Do you have any thoughts about it? Have you pondered it yet? Because you're a grown man now. You're not a kid anymore.
Not really. I'm...
What does your conscience tell you?
Nothing really.
You have a conscience, right?
Yeah. I mean, I don't really think about that kind of stuff.
Doesn't it ever bother you sometimes? How old are you?
I'm 23.
Yeah, it bothered me when I was a kid. I was one of those guys who just had a bad vibe about what was going to happen when I died. I just had a crummy feeling about it,
mm-hmm.
that things were not going to go well for me.
Yeah.
Well, you know, mm-hmm. we do stuff that's wrong,
mm-hmm.
right? So you don't ever think about it.
Not really, no.
All right, so if your conscience could be exposed, mm-hmm. what would it say? Are you a good person or a bad person?
I'm good most of the time, I guess.
Are you? Mm-hmm. Yeah. How do you know? Hey, here, wait a second. Here's a better question. Mm-hmm. How often are you bad, and how often do you have to be bad to no longer be good? It's a tongue twister, but that's a good question. Okay, for instance, here's what I'm thinking. Mm-hmm. What's your first name, by the way?
Eric.
Here's what I'm thinking. There's a criminal in a courtroom, and he says to the judge, "Judge, I've only committed one murder."
Okay.
Does the judge say, "Well, looks like 99.8% of the time you've been pretty good. Away with you." No. He'd say, "You're a criminal, off the jail with you."
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Well, I mean, I guess if it was like a penalty, I mean, what if you go to war and you kill somebody?
Yeah, I think that's a good question. Yeah, I think there's a difference, though, between a just killing and murdering somebody. I think that's a distinction. I mean, lopping off your head right now, that would be very bad,
mm-hmm.
right? But what if the standard is just being angry with somebody? Would you be guilty of that crime, murdering somebody in your heart?
I mean, I've been angry at people, but usually you can, like, forgive them eventually.
Right.
And it's usually the long run, you're like, cool, whatever.
Okay. How's about lying? You ever told lies?
Sure.
Yeah. Okay. I have too. Ever stolen anything?
From, like, my brothers and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, all right. That's about it.
Yeah. But that's stealing,
mm-hmm.
right? All right, a little trickier. Thought life, what goes on inside of your brain. Maybe sitting here on the bench, it's a beautiful afternoon, watching all the girls go by. Ever have thoughts that, well, if your Southern Baptist mom knew about them, she wouldn't be jumping for joy at her son? Sexual thoughts, X-rated thoughts. Ever ponder those things about women in your brain?
Not really.
Dude!
I mean, I have a girlfriend that I've been going out with for like 6 years.
Right.
So, I mean...
All right, well, this is a question I wouldn't ask you to answer because it wouldn't be mm-hmm. gentlemanly of me.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have ever been inappropriate with your mm-hmm. girlfriend...
Mm-hmm.
then that would also be a sexual sin or crime, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. So let's say you died.
Okay.
All right? Let's say God exists, mm-hmm. the one that's in the Bible, whether it's Catholic or Southern Baptist.
Okay.
And God judged you, Eric. The books on Eric's life are now opened up.
Okay.
He knows every thought, every deed, mm-hmm. everything you've ever done privately, and everything you failed to do that you should have done.
Okay.
What do you think God is going to think about you? Is he going to be pleased with your performance? Or would he find you guilty?
It really depends. I mean, if you go... I've done a lot of, like, really good things. I've done a lot of, like... I guess... Like, in my, like, experience, I think I've done enough to, like...
Balance the scales.
Yeah, at least, like, done more good than, like, bad. I haven't, like, done anything crazy bad. I mean, God's supposed to be ever-forgiving or whatever. But it... I don't know. There's
all right.
A lot of stuff like that.
Okay, go back to the courtroom. All right?
Mm-hmm.
And the guy says... The guy's committed murder. But okay. Judge... I have made 1,812 turkey sandwiches for starving children in downtown Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
Is the judge going to say, oh, 1,812 sandwiches, murder, seems to balance itself out, you're free mm-hmm. to go? Or is the standard of justice a little different? You can't do good things to take away from the bad. You break the law, you're guilty,
mm-hmm.
and you must be punished.
Okay.
Wouldn't that be true justice?
I guess.
All right.
I mean, I guess if you lie once, what, you go to hell forever?
That's a big tough concept, is what that is.
That's
because that seems extreme, doesn't
it? I mean, that's like when I went to the Baptist church. That's what it was like.
Well, believe it or not, that's what the Bible actually says.
So,
all liars will have their part in a lake of fire. Mm-hmm. But here, you're a smart guy, and this is, I think you'll find this reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
It's not so much the way that we esteem the crime. The mm-hmm. question is, how does the judge see it?
Okay.
So we might just go, like, looking at pornography, everybody else does it. But mm-hmm. God, the just judge, mm-hmm. if he looks at it and says, that is filthy dirty,
mm-hmm.
and if you've looked at it once or 1,000 times, I don't care, you've broken the law,
mm-hmm.
and I'm angry about it.
Okay.
So we can look at lies and think, kind of a big deal, it was just a little white one, I don't care what color it is, mm-hmm. it's a lie, and if the judge sees it that way, it's really up to him and not up to us. And the reason...
Mm-hmm.
that God's standard is so high, it's because he's so high.
Okay.
See, our crimes aren't so much against... Like, I tell a lie to you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's bad. But at the same time, I've basically broken his laws. And that's what makes it exceedingly bad.
Okay.
That's why it's bad. So, Eric, what mm-hmm. do you think would happen? So, let's say that those books are open and God is a just judge.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty black and white.
What do you think would happen? What would he do with you, heaven or hell?
Well, if he's pretty black and white, I guess I'd be going to hell.
Yeah. Right.
That sucks. But I don't know. I guess I could live the life I got.
Actually, that might be the greatest understatement of all time. That would be a monster drag, going to hell for forever. Right. So, I gotta take a break here.
Okay.
But I'm guessing somewhere along the line, in some church somewhere, somebody's told you the good news, haven't they?
That God's forgiving?
Yeah. That God's forgiving, and He's good, and He's kind, and He's merciful, and He's loving. They've told you that, haven't they?
Yeah.
All right. Let me take a break, because that's what I got to do.
Right.
We are sitting here on a bench at Georgia Tech on Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your daily Fortis News Break, production of Fortis Institute. Reports of brutal Christian persecution continue to mount across the globe, with Indian believers facing death threats after being violently expelled from their homes. In one part of India, 45 Christians from 10 families were forced to flee into nearby forests after village mobs armed with wooden sticks demanded they renounce Christ. When two women returned to check conditions, they were bluntly told, "Leave Jesus Christ and only then enter the village." The attackers showed no mercy to the elderly, to the women, or the children, burning Bibles and important documents before setting fire to at least one Christian's home. Just 21 miles away, seven more Christian families were expelled from another village for refusing to abandon their faith. And in Pakistan, the situation is even more dire, where a former police inspector and seven accomplices tortured a Christian laborer to death over an alleged cell phone theft. The 35-year-old was beaten with wood clubs and iron bars before having steel nails hammered into his legs. Barbarism that reveals the true motive wasn't about the phone at all. Meanwhile, in Sudan, where civil war has claimed over 14,000 lives, the Rapid Support Forces detained a Sudanese church leader and demanded ransom for her release. Christian persecution is going on all over the globe, and as we tell you so frequently, please make sure that you are praying daily and fervently for all of our Christian brothers and sisters abroad. In other news, Pope Leo XIV has wasted no time affirming traditional Catholic teaching on marriage and the dignity of human life. While addressing diplomatic representatives from around the world, the first American pope emphasized that peaceful societies are built on families and founded on a stable union between a man and a woman, and the protection of all human life, including the unborn. And recently, outside of Britain's parliament, Christians joined with disability advocates and medical professionals to protest a dangerous assisted dying bill that was being debated by lawmakers. That legislation would allow adults with supposed six-month life expectancy to request suicide assistance, though government data reveals that one in five patients given 6 months to live survive 3 years or more. And finally, a rare piece of Western civilization's Christian heritage has been hiding in plain sight at Harvard Law School. A document purchased in 1946 for just $27.50, believed to be a worthless copy, turned out to be an authentic 700-year-old original of the Magna Carta from 1300, one of the only surviving. While Harvard still has no plans to sell the priceless artifact worth millions, the irony isn't lost on conservatives. A document that established limits on government power and laid the foundation for individual rights was completely overlooked and undervalued at one of America's most progressive institutions. And that wraps up today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, you can download Fortis Plus or sign up to become a Fortis Insider for exclusive daily content. You can do both at FortisInstitute.org. And don't forget, you can subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app in order to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Books of the Bible. The book of Ecclesiastes is a philosophical and poetic reflection on life. The author teaches that no matter what, all men die and face God's judgment. Life, then, is full of vanity and despair. Anything that is pursued for its own sake is meaningless. But if we pursue God above all else, we can enjoy even mundane things as gifts from God. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Momentarily sitting on a bench, but we'll be moving, well, because Eric just got up. This is Wretched Radio. We are at Georgia Tech, sitting on a bench chatting with Eric from Georgia. Well, sort of from Georgia, but you traveled all over the place because you were an Army brat.
Yes,
right?
Sir.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't think that's a very nice term, Army brat.
Well, I mean, I don't know what else. I mean, you just get dragged around with your parents.
This doesn't seem like a nice term. Okay, so Eric, we left off, your mom's Southern Baptist, mm-hmm. and your dad's Roman Catholic.
Yeah.
And we just kind of drilled you a little bit, asking you questions about how many lies you've stolen, or lies you've told, or things that you've stolen, or looking with lust, or other things, and dishonoring parents, and all those sins against God, those crimes against God.
Uh-huh.
And we concluded, by your own admission, that if God was a just judge, and he gave you what you deserved, mm-hmm. you'd end up in hell.
Yeah.
Now, I also said somewhere along the line, somebody had to tell you the good news. What's the good news of the gospel so that you don't have to go to hell?
God's forgiving. He'll show mercy if you, I guess, are worth it.
That's a part of it, but there's a big piece missing here. All right? Okay. Back to our courtroom analogy. Mm-hmm. There's the murderer. He's standing there before the judge, and the judge says, I'm forgiving, so I'm going to let you go. Uh-oh, big problem. Now he's no longer a just judge, correct?
Okay.
So if God just forgives people who are bad, that wouldn't be just. Mm-hmm. So now we've got a dilemma, we've got a problem. He's got to give Eric hell, because that's what you've earned for yourself. Mm-hmm. But he's good, and he's kind, and he's merciful, and he's forgiving. But he's also just. So we've got some tension going on here. Mm-hmm. Eric's got to go to hell, but God doesn't desire that. So for justice to be satisfied so that God can graciously forgive you and not violate his own character, what did he do?
I mean, I guess he's on like a higher, he's like the highest judge, so
yeah,
he'd be able to see like everything about the situation. See if it's...
It's better than that. You're going down a different trail. There's something way better. God has to be just, but he's loving and he's good, and he wants to forgive a bad sinner like Eric. Mm-hmm. So justice had to be satisfied so that God could dismiss your court case.
Okay.
All right? Mm-hmm. Do you know what God did for you so that you could have your sins forgiven? Happened 2,000 years ago.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah, Jesus.
What did he do?
He died.
How?
He was hung up on a cross by a bunch of Roman people.
Yeah, he sure was. Beaten before he got there. Whipped real bad before he got there, right? Hung on a cross where he gasped for air and then died. The Bible says that he was righteous and perfect. So the just died for you, the unjust, okay. So that your badness could be placed on him, and his goodness, his perfect life, and his suffering could be credited to your account. So God can look at your court case and see, while he's guilty, while he deserves wrath, while he should be punished, that payment was paid, made in full, by Jesus, by taking all of God's wrath directed at you on himself, so that you, the criminal, could be set free. That's the good news. That's the gospel story right there. And then, like every other religion that says you got to do good, and maybe if the deity is in a good mood that day, you maybe have a shot.
Yeah.
This is different. This deity says, I'm the only God there is, and you've done very bad, and you've been very wretched, but I'm very good, and I'll save you because I'm kind, and I'm merciful, and I'd like to do that, but you have got to agree. You've got to agree with God. He's exactly who he claims to be. That Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that you have violated his laws and that you've lived for yourself, rebelling against him, committing crimes against him. Yeah, we do stuff that's horizontal, but it's primarily against God. It's vertical mostly. And that you deserve hell and that you agree with him. But then, when you hear the good news that Jesus died for you, a sinner anyway, it should break your heart. And it should make you exceedingly sad that you've sinned against God. And you should repent of your sins, turn from your sins, say you're sorry for your sins, and put your trust in Jesus. And the Bible says if you'll do that, he'll forgive all of your sins and grant you everlasting life. The only religion that makes that claim. So, Eric, mm-hmm. whether that was Catholic or Southern Baptist, mm-hmm. that was what the Bible says. Mm-hmm. Here's the big question.
Okay.
Is it true?
That's a good question.
It's the big one.
Yeah. I don't know, man.
It's a biggie.
Yeah. I don't know. I've grown up in like several churches, and I mean, there's a lot of nice people at churches, and there's a lot of like love and everything with churches. And I have most of my family's like really into churches and pretty good. I don't know. I like ponder the question all the time. I ask them that, and like they give me like questions and guidance and stuff. But I don't know. I'm just like thinking about it all the time.
Well, I'm glad you do, because you should, because you're a grown man now. And you're accountable to God now.
Mm-hmm.
If he exists, if he made you,
mm-hmm.
and the books get opened up, you've got some explaining to do.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now you need to figure out, if your conscience convicts you,
mm-hmm.
is it true that Jesus Christ really is God? Is that story true? Because it sure sounds mm-hmm. big, and it sure sounds otherworldly. Is mm-hmm. it true, fully God, fully man,
mm-hmm.
did he really die? And did he really die for me? Because if that's true, dude, nobody's ever done anything nicer for you. The just dying for the unjust, that is like the most amazing thing. I mean, I don't know if you'd ever give your life for somebody that you love. I don't think that you'd give your life for somebody who hates you day in and day out. But that's what Jesus did. The Bible says we're enemies of God in our mind.
Mm-hmm.
We rebel against him all day, every day. But God, looking through the annals of time, still saw you because he made you and designed you, knew you'd behave the way that you behaved, and yet died for you anyway. It's amazing.
All right, man. It's been good talking to you, man.
See ya. Goodbye. It's a pleasure.
I'll see you.
See ya. Goodbye. You too. I have no idea why he ended that conversation. I have no idea. All I can do is hope. We weren't at the destination. We hadn't arrived at our place. We stopped in the middle of the intersection, basically. And, he knows everything he needs to know. And I will trust that if he's got brothers and sisters who are indeed Christians, they can hopefully share the exact same thing that I did. Don't know what's going on in his brain. I'll be thinking about that kid today. Pray for him, would you? Because maybe, just maybe, one of the things that's going on in his brain is that he's being convicted by the Holy Spirit. That's the only thing that is going to convert him, by the way. Because all of my preaching and teaching, it's not going to get the job done. And all of the apologetics in the world, while it can certainly answer some questions for people, it's not going to get the job done. We got to be preaching the gospel. So that's what we're doing here at Georgia Tech, just wandering around the campus, encouraging you as we go, please get yourself a Georgia Tech. It just doesn't need to be a college campus. But you should find something to be doing for the Lord where you can be witnessing to people, where you can be sharing your faith. And we're going to try to talk to this kid, maybe who... Young man, while you're walking, could I ask you some questions on the radio, specifically about your shirt?
Sure.
Delta Epsilon Phi?
Sigma Phi.
Oh, Sigma, it's capital. Sorry, mm-hmm. Sigma Phi. So you're a member of a...
Fraternity.
Uh-huh. Why are you in that thing?
It's fun.
Okay, yeah. So do you live in a house on campus?
Yeah, we have a house.
I haven't seen a fraternity house on this entire campus.
Really?
Yeah.
Walk that way and you'll see them all.
All right. I spent a lot of time at the University of Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
Party place is what the fraternities were known for. Is that what they're known for here?
Not necessarily. Like, there are parties. There's a lot of other things they do as well.
What do they do? I've never been in one. What do they do?
You have a lot of fun. There's a lot of leadership potential for the members in it.
Okay. And when you say fun, what's that code for? Checkers, chess, you play board games,
I mean, people
parties.
Are into a lot of different things. There's, of course, parties.
Yeah.
We go camping. You know, different people are into all kinds of different things. Homecoming is coming up. There's events with that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so lots of stuff goes on.
Yep.
Is it pretty raucous? Is it kind of a, you know, like a lot of alcohol, sex, drugs, rock and roll?
No. It's
really?
Nothing like Animal House.
Really?
Yeah.
So... your particular fraternity, what's the association? Why did you choose that one?
I like the people in it.
Okay. Is it a certain field of study here? Is it a religious group?
No, there's no particular religion to it. Or there's one Jewish fraternity and there is one all Christian fraternity, and the rest of them are general. You know,
interesting. And why didn't you choose the Jewish one or the Christian one?
Because I'm not Jewish, and I don't routinely go to church every Sunday.
How come?
Just didn't grow up doing that.
Oh, you didn't? You're kidding. You're in the Bible Belt. Everybody goes to church around here.
No, I'm from Maryland.
Oh, nobody goes to church in Maryland. Okay, so you didn't join those because you're not. So I'm guessing you're not a member of a church or anything else like that, correct?
No.
If you could describe for me, what's the difference between Jewish and Christian? What would you tell me?
What does this have to do with fraternities or sororities?
Doesn't have anything anymore. We kind of segued and moved away from that.
I see. So what is the purpose of this interview?
Not to talk to you about you.
Okay. I think you've learned enough about me.
So you don't want to talk about this anymore?
Nope.
All right, dude. Thanks very much. All right. Goodbye. Well, must be the cologne I put on today. It's a Witness Wednesday at Georgia Tech. This is Wretched Radio.
The world says you're broken, a victim of chemical imbalance, just another diagnosis and a long list of mental health labels. But what if they're wrong about you? What if there's a completely different perspective? Dr. Greg Gifford, a Fortis Institute Fellow, is challenging everything you've been told about mental health. In our exclusive forum, Psychology versus Scripture, The Truth About Mental Health, Dr. Gifford will reveal why the Bible never describes anxiety, depression, or emotional struggles as diseases, but instead offers a framework of sin, suffering, and sanctification. You're not defined by psychiatric terminology, and there is a path to true transformation that medication alone cannot provide. Join us for an eye-opening Fortis Forum that will help you break free from worldly definitions and find lasting peace in Christ. You can watch this Fortis Forum, available right now for free at fortisplus.org. That's fortisplus.org. Your journey to true transformation begins right now. Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know, a dollar today doesn't go near as far as it used to. It might buy you a soft drink, but what if your dollars could multiply? For 25 years, our gospel partners have been watching their giving multiply. Every month, their faithful support transforms into college campus evangelism, biblical counseling, marriage restoration, and gospel proclamation across the globe. And when you become an ongoing monthly gospel partner, understand this. You're not just giving money. You're preaching the gospel to a student at Georgia Tech. You're discipling the young man struggling with pornography. And you're equipping a pastor in a small rural church. And the work, it's nowhere near finished. The fields are white for harvest, and your monthly partnership makes it all possible. Join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner right now by visiting fortisinstitute.org. That's fortisinstitute.org, because when faithful people give faithfully, the gospel advances powerfully. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel. For 25 years, we've watched Christianity's place in America change dramatically.
This is Wretched Radio.
But one thing hasn't changed: our commitment to proclaiming God's truth without compromise. A quarter century of preaching the gospel, equipping others to preach the gospel, and strengthening the local church. 25 years of equipping pastors. 25 years of helping Christians navigate an ever-changing world with biblical wisdom. From our early days to our current home at Fortis Institute, we've had one mission: equipping believers to stand firm in their faith. Today, we're creating more content than ever before. Hundreds of hours of audio and video resources, daily biblical teaching and tools to help you thrive. Thank you for standing firm with us for a quarter century. Together, we've built something extraordinary for the kingdom of God. Visit FortisInstitute.org and join us as we continue this vital work. 25 years of together, faithfully serving our King. And we're just getting started.
Until tomorrow, go serve your King.
Know your reformers. Jan Hus, a Czech priest, was inspired by the writings of John Wycliffe to preach against papal excess and false doctrines such as transubstantiation. Even as he was burned at the stake by the Catholic Church, he continued to preach the gospel and sing the Psalms. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
This is Witness Wednesday. It's Wretched Radio. I'm at Georgia Tech. There's a young man with a gray shirt. Oh, he's eating food, but he looks like a nice enough fellow, so let's give it a go, shall we? Hey, young man, may I talk to you while you're eating your wild rice or whatever that is?
I'd prefer you'd talk to someone else. I've already spoken to you before.
I thought so. I'm looking at you, but I don't think that you had this deal going on, did you? That's new. Now, let me see if I could... I do remember... Now, let me see if I can remember what it was. I'm trying to remember what you believed or didn't believe. Were you kind of an agnostic sort of fellow?
I don't really know how to classify it. I mean...
I remember, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do remember. So, what do you think you are today?
Same as when you last asked me, I guess.
Agnostic, huh?
I guess.
Okay. No change, no... No amazing revelation.
Yeah, I know. Can we perhaps move to the shade a bit?
Yeah, we can move to the shade. Yeah, but don't forget, dude, you got to bring your food, right?
Oh, no, I'm done.
You're done. All right, then I'll take it for you. I'll help you clean up here. Yeah, we can move to the shade. But this is like one of the first sunny days that we've had in Atlanta now in like the last month here.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so that's so funny. Okay, so why'd you grow the, what's up with the facial deal? What's that about? Come on, we'll find some shade. In fact, we talked right around here, didn't we?
Yeah, we actually did. It was
like right here.
Right here.
I remember it well. The spot is still warm. Okay.
Yep.
So you grew the, what is this called when you grow a thing like that without the mustache?
I'm not sure. I'm just
right here.
It
look
out.
At, here's our shade right there.
Yes.
Okay.
Perfect.
Just kind of cool looking.
Yeah.
Okay, so how's school going for you?
It's going well.
Yeah? Yeah?
Yeah.
Tests and everything? You getting good grades?
Getting average grades, which is what I kind of want.
Why is that?
Well, I mean, a lot of people are here to get their degree, graduate, get good jobs. I feel like I'm going to leave here and make a startup company. So
good for you. What do you want to start on?
Video game development.
Mm-hmm.
And me and my dad are currently working on a game. Together,
good for you. So. What kind of game? I mean, don't tell me enough so that somebody hears it, the idea,
it's
you lose your millions.
Game. It's a puzzle game.
Are you into any like the violent games? Do you do that type of stuff?
Occasionally, but I've kind of gotten tired of them, to be honest.
Do you think, there's some people who say that kids who play those violent games tend to be more violent themselves. Do you think there's a connection that is makeable?
I think it's, probably there is, but I think it's a very complex one. I mean, I imagine you can take it one of two ways. You could say that, you know, it's a way to just, it's the same way as...
Which came first, the violent tendencies or the video game?
Yeah, or rather the other way, like that, for example, a punching bag. Is it a good idea to use a punching bag to relieve your stress? Well, it's better than going and punching someone, you know.
Yeah.
So it's one of these things that...
Yeah, okay, fair enough. But maybe the analogy, though, breaks down in what the activity is. Mm-hmm. Punching a bag versus pretending to dismember somebody seems to be different.
Well, I mean... Either way, if you did it in real life, it would kind of dismember a person. Just one would be slower and more painful. And
perhaps. All right, so dude, tell me. So, still an agnostic / atheist? Kind of a nothing?
I guess you can describe it as agnostic. I would not say atheist, because atheist
is... Okay, but last time we talked, I think I preached the gospel to you, didn't I?
Okay, yeah.
I told you about Jesus,
mm-hmm.
dying for a sinner like you.
Okay.
Didn't do anything for you, huh?
Well, you and a thousand other people that you know preach different things. I'm so confused out here that, you know,
is example, everybody at you?
Yeah, I just got this.
I got that one too.
Yeah, you got this one?
Yeah.
Jesus without religion.
Yeah. What do you think that means?
I have no idea.
I was a little
I have no
confused
idea
about it myself.
Where they're going with this, but you know.
Well, I asked them actually.
Yeah.
And the young lady did a pretty nice job of explaining Christianity, but this kind of threw me. Free of creeds, no theologies, no dogma.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not so sure that theologies and creeds are a bad thing. I mean, if it's true, then I think they're good things.
Yeah. It's tough to say. I mean, unless I hear what they have to say, I can't really judge based on
the flyer. So who else has tried to convert you into their thing out here? I'm really curious.
My roommate, I mean...
What's he?
Denomination. Protestant.
Okay, so he's Christian. All right.
Yeah.
Been tackled by any Buddhists, Hare Krishnas? Who's been coming at you?
I ran into a person that was something else. I forget. Kind of reminded me of Buddhism, but I'm not sure what he said.
Taoism?
Maybe, yeah. Maybe that
some
was
some Eastern
it.
Thing. And now, did he try to get you into his group?
No, he didn't try, but I mean, he and I talked about what separate things we believe in.
All right, I'm going to quiz you, all right? I know what I talked to you about. I tried to convince you that you're a very bad man and that you're a sinner who needs forgiveness.
Okay.
From a good God, and Jesus died on a cross to take the punishment you deserve from God. Okay?
All right.
What did I say to you that you must do to be forgiven by God? The response to the gospel is, I know I told you really clearly, do you remember? It was two things.
Well, I have to have a change of heart.
Yeah, that's a big part of it, you bet.
And I forget, I mean, you said different things, I don't remember which ones were the big ones, but like, love God, you know...
It all fell under the category of repent.
Yeah.
Agree with God, say you're sorry to God, and turn from your sins.
Okay.
The other thing was put your faith in Jesus Christ, God himself. And God says, if you'll do that, All of your sins placed on Jesus, all of his goodness credited to your account. The great exchange. You can be a forgiven sinner by a very merciful God who died for you. It's the only religion that teaches that. Taoism doesn't. Buddhism, Hinduism. They all teach works and maybe a good reward. Christianity teaches you've done bad works, but God is good and he'll forgive you.
Well, there's also Catholicism and Protestantism basically teach those. They're two separate religions. What do you think
they're,
about that?
They're different because Roman Catholicism teaches more than that. Mm-hmm. They also teach that you have to keep doing good and be perfect when you die.
Yeah.
Otherwise you go to purgatory. Biblical Christianity says no. When you repent and trust Jesus, all of your sins, past, present, and future, completely forgiven, you are justified, seen as perfect in the eyes of God because of what Jesus did, and then you grow in the process of sanctification, but you're never perfect until you die. Wait. So you get justified by God and you grow in holiness. Roman Catholicism kind of confuses the two issues and says you've got to be holy when you die, otherwise to purgatory you go.
Wait. So you're saying past, present, and future?
Yeah. So, all of your sins forgiven.
So you repent once and that's it.
Yep. Now, throughout our life, we continue to say sorry as we goof because we still sin. We're not perfect. We're growing in holiness.
Uh-huh.
But because of the work of Jesus, your entire record is erased. You are made a child of God. You are seen through what Jesus did. You are in him. And while you're not yet perfect, you are now seen as that because of the amazing grace of God. That's the difference between, if you will, evangelical or biblical Christianity and Roman Catholicism.
I have a question for you. I mean, last time you had a question for me, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
I've been curious about this lately, and I've been asking different people their opinions, and different people say different things. What would you say is the best way to pray so that I can get a response from God about questions I ask?
Here's how it typically works, all right? God has written a Bible for you, and you should be able to find the answers in there or from getting godly counsel from people who know the Bible well. That's typically how God works. He doesn't talk back to you or whisper things or put something out on the sidewalk that is the same color as the car you're thinking about buying. It doesn't operate like that.
Yeah.
Read the Bible, get godly counsel, pray for wisdom, apply the scriptures, make a decision, and then that's God's will for your life. Nothing mystical. You don't hear voices. He doesn't give you signs. He gave you a Bible. So that's typically how it works. Now, why do you pray to God? Because, well, he tells us to, and you want to talk to him, and you want to confess your sins. You want to thank him for what he's done. You want to praise him. You want to petition him and ask him for whatever it is that you need that is biblical. And then he answers in his way, yes, no, or maybe.
Well, my question is because, you know, the Bible, Christianity, all that, somebody somewhere has to have heard from God at some point in
time
to get all that
stuff. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, the guys who wrote the Bible did, and they say so.
Okay.
They said that God, whether it was audible, but they knew it was him, whether it was through dreams, they clearly wrote down that holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. It's called divine inspiration. It's as if, okay, God inspired, let's say you were like Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John.
Yeah.
God inspired you. You'd still use your personality.
Yeah.
But he wrote everything that he wanted you to write without violating your personality. That's divine inspiration.
I understand.
So you're right. They did.
So I'm wondering if that, I mean, it doesn't seem like it should be one of these things that's only between 12 or so people. I would think that anyone could get divine inspiration. What do you think about that?
Well, that's God could have done it that way, but instead he chose to write a book, which really, when you think about it, is a much better plan because let's say you think you heard from God.
Okay.
And I think I heard from God. And you know what? What I heard from God is different than what you heard from God. How do we decide who actually heard from God? You go to the source, you go to the book. And that way the book determines which one of us is right on an issue or which one is wrong. But otherwise, any thought that you had, any dream that you think you had, how would you know what it was? Well, God chose to write a book.
Well, you have the same problem with a book because you have a Quran, you have a Bible, you have, you know, you have different books. So, I mean, the issue kind of comes down to you really can't, when you get to the bottom of it, you can't be sure.
Well, what you could do is compare the books and see which one is right. And I think if you compare the Quran to the Bible, it's really obvious. Or the Bhagavad Gita, I think it's obvious because it addresses the sin issue, your conscience issue. The Quran won't help you to sleep at night. It'll tell you to work really hard, practice the five pillars. Christianity says, rest in Jesus, and I will make you my child, and I will forgive you. and grant you forgiveness of sins and everlasting life. That's the huge difference. Dude, hold on a second. We'll keep chatting here in the shade. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.